CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I think overall the Fed is not seeing inflation decrease the same way they would like it to be. And if anything, inflation has been, you know, re-accelerating in the past month or two. I think there's obviously this other political pressure to have rate cuts going into the election. It's hard to say how these two sort of conflicting ideas are going to clash.
It's Wednesday, May 1st, 2024, and this is Markets Daily, a show where we get into the minds of some of the smartest and most experienced researchers, investors, traders, analysts, CEOs, and anyone with a hot or smart take. I'm Jen Sanasi. Now, before we get into our discussion today, let's take a look at what's going on in the crypto markets. It is just another weak morning across the board. Bitcoin is down around 5%, trading under $60,000. Last time I checked, it was at about $58,000. Ether down almost 3% at around $2,900. Now, risk-off sentiment is prevalent ahead of the big Fed meeting we're all waiting for today. We're going to learn if there's an interest rate cut coming soon. We'll be talking about that in just a moment. But I do need to mention, we often follow 10x research on this show because every time the founder, Marcus Thielen, comes on, he is spot on with his prediction. Now, 10x research is eyeing a price target of $52,000 to $55,000. So we might see a little bit more downside, but let's make sense of everything that's going on and bring in managing partner at Dragonfly, Tom Schmidt. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for being here. Now, right across the board this morning, a little bit disappointing, especially as everyone was watching those Hong Kong ETF approvals. What are you watching this morning?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, FOMC is kind of on everyone's mind this morning. It is surprising to see some short-term price action in the markets, given that the market has been pricing in basically 0% probability of a June rate cut for 2 months now, at least, and I think increasingly looking at potentially even no cuts in 2024. So it's not like there's new information this morning that's causing these prices to drop. Maybe just a general sort of bearish sentiment. The Hong Kong ETFs have been interesting to pay attention to. I think people have been maybe a little bit underwhelmed, especially coming from the West and expecting another sort of U.S. style outcome for these Hong Kong ETFs. I think on day one there was only a few mil in trading volume. Some caveats to that. Hong Kong ETFs function a little bit differently than US ETFs in that a lot of these were approved to exist before they started trading. And so in reality, they still have 100 million and change in AUM, which is pretty decent given the size of the Hong Kong market compared to the US. The other thing too is I think overall we were a bit skeptical that these would also have the same sort of impact as the US ETFs, just given the fact that, hey, if you're wealthy in China, you probably have access to some sort of offshore banking. You can probably get access to Bitcoin to put it into your portfolio already. So there isn't sort of this big unlock the same way we saw in the US, where now people can put it into their retirement accounts, into accounts that they're managing for their clients. And just an overall sort of underwriting of Bitcoin as an asset class that the ETF functioned as.
So are you saying that maybe mainland Chinese investors are already invested in Bitcoin and so that the ETF doesn't really offer that extra option for them?
Yeah, and people in Hong Kong as well. Again, the ETF sort of served as this ergonomic vehicle in some ways, where if you want to get access to Bitcoin from your IRA, from your 401k, from other types of accounts, having an ETF makes it that much easier for you, and obviously also much cheaper than going through a private placement fund. That same sort of dynamic doesn't really exist in Hong Kong in the same way. And so expected to continue to do well. And again, the big sort of underscore here is it does act as an endorsement of the asset class by regulators, but Hong Kong has already been much more crypto friendly than the US. They've been welcoming back a lot of teams post COVID, trying to create a stablecoin ecosystem within Hong Kong. And so it doesn't feel like, hey, there's this big break from how crypto has been treated in Hong Kong previously, the same way it felt like the ETF was this sort of breakthrough moment in the US crypto regulatory landscape.
Okay, is the ETF narrative over? Because it's not only Hong Kong. Inflows are slowing over here in the United States. Of course, it's not available in several different types of products right now in the US. But is the narrative over? Do you think that it's going to make a comeback?
It's hard to say. I think in some respects, it does kind of reflect price action. I believe there was actually an outflow, a net outflow recently for the first time. I think obviously a lot of the initial few months of ETF trading were also people rotating out of GBTC into these lower cost ETFs. And that obviously became more attractive as, hey, maybe people's cost basis relative to the current price that gap closed. And it made sense to rotate out of something that was higher fee into something that was lower fee. We still had a good amount of net inflows into the ETF products, just to be clear, but it wasn't this sort of, $16 billion inflow as people sort of imagined. I do think overall it's sort of a evergreen, constantly ratcheting up kind of story. And that's kind of what I use to describe crypto and to many people in a lot of ways, that it's this thing that doesn't go away. It goes up and it goes down, but this constant sort of ratcheting up. And I think the ETF sort of function in a similar way of there was just a study out, I believe, from Citigroup this past week talking about looking at backwards modeling of including crypto in different clients' portfolios and basically endorsing this idea that, yes, adding a small percentage of crypto to a portfolio, does improve returns, does reduce volatility. And so it's just this constant sort of idea that this is a legitimate asset class. This is something that makes sense to have in your portfolio. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, but it's this constant sort of march forward.
I want to turn back to the Fed meeting now. What are you expecting to hear later on today? And what does that mean for risk assets?
Current sentiment is going to be more hawkish statements coming from Powell. I think overall, the Fed is not seeing inflation decrease the same way they would like it to be. And if anything, inflation has been reaccelerating in the past month or two. It's really hard to say. I think there's obviously this other political pressure to have rate cuts going into the election. It's hard to say how these two sort of conflicting ideas are going to clash. Overall, we're optimistic that, inflation will come under control. Maybe we'll see rate cuts later this year, but there's also, again, these external pressures to get rates lower, to get the economy back on track, and overall to, get us back to a more, normalized rate level, especially given the way debt and the way the Treasury has been functioning.
Tell me a little bit more about that optimism when it comes to getting inflation under control. And the reason I ask is when I go on social media, that optimism doesn't seem to be there for the average Joe who's out there living their day-to-day life, or even a lot of traders when we're looking at inflation. It seems like there's a lot of doom and gloom and folks aren't really sharing that optimism. Talk to me about what's going into that thought from your perspective.
Yeah, some of it has been, looking across the pond and seeing what the ECB is doing, and they've been a lot more dovish with respect to thinking about potential rate cuts in the near future. Part of it is also just, again, this sort of political reality that, every month that rates are kept at this level, that's adding to the debt, that's depressing a lot of people's net worth in the value of their homes or assets. And so with an election coming up in November, there is an idea that maybe there's room to sort of wiggle on this or to, at the very least, create some sort of political breathing room for the current administration. I think also this is much more fringe and much more tangential. There is also a thread of economists that are coming onto this idea that maybe actually higher rates are driving inflation by basically creating sort of more money in the economy via sort of the rates themselves. I think that's still pretty fringe, but it's interesting to see the fact that macroeconomics in some ways is still developing their theses around how central banks function.
Global crypto regulation, the disruptive power of AI, the rise of tokenization. Consensus is the one event where experts convene to talk about the ideas shaping our digital future. Join developers, investors, founders, brands, policymakers, and plenty more in Austin, Texas from May 29th to the 31st. The 10th annual Consensus is curated by CoinDesk to feature the industry's most sought-after speakers, unparalleled networking opportunities, and unforgettable experiences. Take 15% off with this registration code, MD15. Register now at consensus.coindesk.com. In my introduction, I mentioned 10x Research. Marcus Thielen, the founder, has been on this show a bunch of times. His price target is now between $52,000 and $55,000 for Bitcoin. Do you agree with him? Where do you see the price of Bitcoin going?
Yeah, I mean, we're almost at that level this morning, so maybe he's pretty on point with that. I do think ultimately I'm more bullish on Bitcoin than maybe that price range. I think kind of what we've seen is there really are not a lot of great opportunities to deploy capital in this market. You know, macro cap tech is getting pretty overvalued. Early stage venture is also getting kind of clobbered. People are seeing pushback now on private credit, private equity. A lot of these funds are not returning cash. And so Bitcoin, I think the outperformance has been pretty impressive in the face of this pretty dire macro environment. And I think that creates all this more fuel to the fire in the idea that in a more favorable macro environment, if there are rate cuts later this year or early next year, Bitcoin will do even better. And so in some respects, it's sort of like a free option of, hey, it can't get much worse than this, and it probably can get a lot better. So, you know, why not sort of get on the ride now and see where it goes?
Are you going to put a number to that for me?
I don't know if I can put a number. I'm at the end of the day, kind of a boring venture capitalist and not a trader, but we, you know, love crypto as an asset class and think there's a lot more interesting innovation and room to grow.
I think I always ask you for a number and I never get one, but one day, Tom, you're going to slip up and you're going to give me that prediction.
All right, next time.
Okay. Now, there's a lot going on from the regulatory front. We have CZ was sentenced yesterday. We have Consensus versus the SEC. We have the SEC versus Uniswap. It's looking like we're not going to get stablecoin legislation. It feels like we're going to get it, and the next day we're not, and then we say it's going to happen, and now it's looking like stablecoin legislation is not going to happen before the next election. What are you watching from a regulatory perspective, and how are you applying that to your thesis around the market?
Yeah, great question. Certainly regulatory is something that is extremely top of mind for us when we're looking at investments. Part of our fund is also based in Asia. And so obviously for us, when we're looking at teams, in some ways it's very favorable if the team is based outside the US and they don't have a US nexus and they're not serving US customers. And that allows them to actually build without constraints and really focus on serving end users and end consumers. And that's what building a startup is all about. And the U.S. continues to really, hamstring early stage entrepreneurs, and that just puts them at a material disadvantage in this really global market. I think the good news here overall has been that the SEC has been losing these cases. There's an increasing pushback against the SEC, and there's overall sentiment that they have really overstepped their bounds. They are not following proper procedures. They're violating the APA. They're really becoming this sort of villain in DC. There's a lot of pushback against the SEC. And so with a lot of these cases that the SEC is bringing, or increasingly cases that are being brought against the SEC, we're more optimistic that the SEC will lose these cases, and the defendants or the plaintiffs will prevail. And so I think that the tides are really turning, and we've seen this with the Ripple case. We've seen this with the DebtBox case just last week. They announced that two of the lawyers at the SEC who were working on this case were fired for basically fabricating evidence in this lawsuit against DebtBox in Utah. And so it doesn't seem like they're really acting in good faith in the way that lawmakers want them to, in the way that people in the crypto industry want them to.
I guess that brings me to my next question. There have been reports that the SEC could be looking to deem Ether a security. Traders are watching this very closely. How likely do you think that is?
I find this to be very unlikely, and I think if they try to, they'll end up in a turf war with the CFTC, which already very explicitly views Ether as a commodity. It's also interesting to see that, you know, when this exact same topic came up, I believe early last year when Gensler was in front of Congress, he really kind of skirted around the question. And so, you know, maybe there's a chance that he maybe slightly perjured himself if he ends up wanting to then go and sort of declare that Ether is security. But frankly, I think the facts are also just against him in this case. I think it's very hard to argue that, you know, Ethereum, this, you know, asset that is run by, you know, tens of thousands of validators around the world that really exists even outside of the influence of the Ethereum Foundation from, you know, over a decade ago, is somehow, you know, sort of responsible for or a product of their efforts in 2024. And so there is sort of this weird period. And this is ultimately what founders in the space are looking for clarity on is when does something go from being a security to being not a security? Where is that line? And it feels like right now we're really just continuing to see regulation by enforcement and no sort of bright line, no really clear path forward. And that's frustrating. And I think ultimately a waste of time and resources for everybody involved.
All right, Tom, we're trying this new thing on this show and I didn't brief you on it. So let's give it a go. It's called Call of the Day. And this is your opportunity to give your hot take on absolutely anything you want. It doesn't have to be anything we've spoken about during this interview. But what's your call of the day?
My call of the day, I think after this EigenLayer airdrop announcement that came out yesterday that seemed to disappoint a lot of people in the industry, there was an idea that the whole points meta is over. No one's going to do points anymore. No one's going to do sort of pre-token launch, you know, liquidity mining points, quote unquote. I think that's totally wrong. I think points are here to stay. I think teams will continue to use points just because it's just much more favorable to teams to help them bootstrap their networks versus kind of the old way of doing liquidity mining and network bootstrapping. So I'm a points bull, and that's my controversial take.
Tom, thank you so much for joining Markets Daily today. I heard you're going to be at Consensus doing your podcast live. So you get the opportunity to plug that. Take it away. End the show for me.
Yeah, I will be at Consensus along with Haseeb, who's one of the other managing partners here with me at Dragonfly, and Tarun Chitra and Robert Leshner, who are at Robot Ventures. We have a podcast called The Chopping Block. You can think of it a little bit like All In for crypto. We're four early stage investors talking real talk about what's going on in the markets, trends that we're seeing, venture, tech deep dives, all that kind of good stuff. So we'll be having a live show at Consensus and looking forward to doing it.
Hopefully this is the last time you hear this ad, because with Chime checking account, features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe and getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit, you can probably treat yourself to an ad-free upgrade to spend more time listening to your favorite podcasts. Or at least grab yourself an extra morning latte this month. Join millions of Chime members who work on their financial progress with fee-free overdraft and no monthly fees. When you find new ways to save, you can reach your financial goals easier and still have the occasional treat. Take more control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/goals24. That's chime.com/goals24. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.